Hello, friends, and we're glad you're joined for another study here at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. I'm Colin. Well, today marks the start of something a little different for our church. Over the next four Sundays, we'll take a deep dive looking at the pillars that form the heart of our church's mission statement. In future studies, we'll look at care, community, and mission. But today, we turn our attention to the pillar of formation. We define it as the process of being formed by Scripture and the Spirit to be like Jesus, to love God supremely, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. But there is a crisis of formation or discipleship in the church as we are increasingly more influenced by culture rather than the things of God. As Pastor Charles Brosen tells us, because of this, we need to recapture a biblical vision of discipleship. It starts by learning new rhythms, new patterns of thinking, speaking, and acting in order to live in the way of Jesus. When Romans 12 for a message and our vision for formation.
All right, church, let's stand as we read God's word together. Romans chapter 12. We're just going to read verses 1 and 2, and then we're going to talk about formation. We're going to unpack these verses and understand what it means for us as a local church. So Paul writes to the church in Rome, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. So as we mentioned before, over the course of this month, we're going to take each Sunday to look at each of our pillars from our vision statement of being a Jesus-formed community on mission. So we'll consider formation today, community next week, then care, information. And these are the things, like if you don't know the pillars of Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, these are the things that we're about as a local church. This is how we want to be known by you and by the surrounding community, that we are a church that gather regularly to be formed in the way of Jesus, that we're a church who pursues a life of real community and care with one another. We walk through one another through good times and bads. We support one another in all seasons of life. And finally, we are a community that reaches out to our local community. We don't just live and exist for ourselves and our own comfort and well-being. We exist for the life of the world, just like Jesus did, right? We reach out beyond this community with the power and presence of the kingdom of God. These are our values and our pillars as a local church. And these are all the ways that we, you know, regularly are inviting this community to partner in what God is doing. But this morning, I want to talk about formation. So we use the term formation synonymously with discipleship. And of course, discipleship is not a new concept to the church or to Christianity. If you're a Christian, I hope discipleship is not a new concept to you. In fact, it's something that the church has been attending to for the last 2,000 years, being disciples, apprentices of Jesus of Nazareth. But this is what I've noticed in recent years. And it's this, that the church in, at least America, and especially I think in Orange County, is experiencing a discipleship crisis. And I think that, you know, there are significant moments in the last 5 years. I think COVID was kind of that moment, some of the things that we've seen that have really exposed and revealed whose image we are being formed into. There are many reasons for this discipleship crisis. One of them is that though the church might affirm, you know, gospel doctrine, you know, what we would refer to the Apostles' Creed, those tenets of the faith, salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, that we hold to those clearly taught things in Scripture, that our individual habits, the values that we hold for our own life, and our desires and aspirations are mostly formed by the culture around us. We may know the right things, we may teach the right things, but in fact, we want and pursue the wrong things. Or another way we could put this is we want spiritual transformation. We want the flourishing life of Jesus. We want the yoke that is easy, the burden that is light, but we do not prioritize the time to pursue it because we're prioritizing everything else. And of course, theologians, Christian leaders, and even social commentators, those who are not Christian, right, just looking at the culture, have been talking for some time about the radical influence that our phones, our smart devices are actually having upon our own formation. The things that we center our lives around, what we practice, who we are becoming, is being shaped by 24/7 news. It's being shaped by social media and, you know, like nonstop advertisement, right? Offers of a version of the good life, those things that will satisfy us, that will make us happy, that will make us more beautiful or more healthy, all these things, right? You have social media, you know, you're being bombarded with this constantly. And I think as people who are to be in tune with, who am I becoming? Where am I going? Or as Jesus put it, keep watch on your soul. We should be asking deeper questions like, who sets the priorities, the rhythms, and habits of our lives? As disciples of Jesus, is it Scripture? Do we get our vision for living from Scripture? Do we get our vision for living from the gospel and from the teachings and life of Jesus? Or do we just make it up for ourselves? Is it based upon our own desires, our own personal convictions, our family values that we were raised with? Does it come from the current culture we live in? The question that Paul would ask us is, whose image are you being formed into by the life that you are prioritizing and practicing? Dallas Willard, who taught extensively about spiritual transformation, about discipleship, he said this about the church. Listen, this is fascinating. He says, our mistake that we make is to think that we can follow Jesus while living the rest of our lives just as everyone else does. We think that we can follow Jesus but not actually practice his way of life or his teachings, that we can just kind of add it on to our life as like a capstone of belief and actually become like Jesus. That's not possible. And so because of this, the church regularly needs to capture the biblical vision of discipleship. If we are to be faithful to Jesus and his call to follow him and be his disciples, to live in and live out his kingdom, that formation must be stronger than our present culture's formation. Paul the Apostle was writing on this very subject to the church in Rome. And if you're familiar with the book of Romans, for the first 11 chapters of Paul's letter, he lays out the good news of God's kingdom that has been brought to a rebellious humanity through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus has radically changed the script. He's flipped the whole story upside down, and he invites the most broken and, you know, motley crew of people to be his, to be part of a whole new humanity and a whole new way of living under the reign of God. And so as Paul lays this out chapter by chapter, in chapter 12, he finally comes to kind of the climax and he says, so what should we do is basically the question. What should we do in response to this incredible news about God's grace in inviting us and making a way for us to be his children, to be a part of his kingdom? And so he writes this, well, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So Paul is saying that the only proper response to the good news of God's kingdom being brought to us through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is to go all in. Are you there, church? That's the call. And for Paul, it's like, obviously. What else could the response be? Jesus gave it all. He asks you to go all in, to turn your life now completely over to God. But how do we do that? How do we go all in? How do we turn our lives over to God? Because I imagine most of us know that we're complicated people, aren't we? We have all sorts of baggage that we have brought into following Jesus and brought into the kingdom of God. We've got our upbringing and those family values. We've got the world around us that is influencing us and telling us how to live. And this is what Paul says. He says, this is how you do it. Don't be conformed to all of that. The pattern of this world. Some translations say this, stop letting the world tell you how to live. Rather, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You need a whole new way of thinking, a whole new operating system. Paul is putting before us the work of counterformation. Everyone is being formed. Everybody is buying some sort of product of the good life. And Paul says, we reject all of that and we believe that there is only one who can give us the good life, and that is Jesus Messiah. And so we go all in. We follow his life, the life of counterformation. Finally, he says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So listen, the result will be that you and I, both individually and collectively as a body, as a church, will discover what God is doing in the world and be able to join him in building for his kingdom. Offer yourself. Here's how you do it. Be transformed by renewing your mind. Then you will discover, test, and approve God's perfect, pleasing will. Now, some have noted, and this is fascinating to me, that Paul is actually walking the church through a very common paradigm of understanding and pursuing virtue or character. This is actually what the ancients said, like, you know, Socrates and Plato and the Greek philosophers. They talked about character transformation. How does that happen? Three steps. You first must identify the goal. Then you must pursue the steps that will lead you to that goal and practice, 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 practice. And then you arrive. Or you live out the goal by second nature. It becomes a part of your character, a part of your being, so that when you are put in difficult situations, that good character is what ekes out of you. It's what the pressure squeezes out. In this instance, would be the character of Jesus Christ. So this is what Paul is laying out for us. A process for pursuing godly, Christ-like character in order to partner with God in doing his will. Now, the interesting thing is we find an almost exact parallel, and guess what? Mark's gospel, you guessed it. Good job, church. You like that sneaky way? I just got right back to Mark's gospel. So Mark shows Jesus calling disciples to a very similar thing. So we're talking about identifying the goal. Well, we know from Mark's gospel that Jesus invites his disciples to be with him. We know that we have to pursue the steps, the habits, and we have to practice, practice, practice. And we see Jesus teaching his disciples. We see him correcting their wrong ways of thinking and living and redirecting those in his way. He is giving them practices to implement into their own lives. And of course, we see the arrival, the becoming. We see Jesus sending his disciples out to do what he did. Jesus, we know, he proclaimed the reign of God's kingdom. And he invited any and everyone to turn toward God and be a part of his kingdom. Jesus brought the effects of God's reign everywhere he went. He did good. He healed people who were afflicted with disease and with sin, afflicted by the devil. This is what Jesus did. He announced and demonstrated the reign of God, and he sends disciples out to do the same. So this really is the process of discipleship in and formation. to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and do what he did. And my conviction, as I read the scriptures, is that this is what every single Christian is to do from the day you are baptized to the day that you close your eyes in death. You are to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and practice or observe this threefold rhythm of being with Jesus, practicing his way or becoming like him, and doing what he did. And this is something that just must be done by you. It can't be done through a sermon, though a sermon might give us a teaching, it might give us instruction that we can implement into our own lives. This must be practiced in your own life. No one can do this for you. And I'm going to tell you right now, I am never coming over to your house and going to be like, hey, okay, so what are the priorities of, oh, I'm just making some observations from your living room in your own space of, oh, I just saw your calendar and I see the things that you're prioritizing. And let me tell you, Romans 12, chapters 1 and 2, or, you know, verses 1 and 2, is not being put into practice in this home. Never going to happen. Sorry. That's not my responsibility. Your responsibility is to listen to the Spirit of God. And as he pulls you into that life in Jesus to say, this doesn't fit anymore. You're not prioritizing the king. You're not prioritizing this incredible gift of the kingdom stewardship. We got to reorganize. We got to reorder your living space so that it gives space for God to work and to move, to form you in the way of Jesus. The way I put this, the shorthand is, church, you need to take your discipleship into your own hands. No one else is responsible for it but you. Now, you might find people in your life that you look up to and you lean on them and you get wisdom for them, and that is wonderful. I'm not objecting to that. We all need that. But ultimately, this is something that you and you alone are responsible for. And even here at our church, right, we have Sunday teachings and resources, our gatherings on Wednesday night, our classes there. We have Bible studies and small groups and prayer meetings and Bible reading curriculum, and this is wonderful. But this is only part of that formation process, right? It's the instruction, it's the information, it's tools that we make available. And listen, though, when practiced, meditated on, thought over, assimilated, used, applied to your life, will actually bring about real transformation. But you have to take these tools upon yourself and apply them to your own life. You must take up the call personally to be a disciple of Jesus and follow him. All right, let's walk through these three steps, and then I just have a word of encouragement. I think it's a real, just exciting, you know, kind of moment for us to think about for our own lives, and then we'll close out our time together. So first, we must identify the goal. We mentioned this, right? The goal is Jesus, to be with Jesus. So what do? We spend time with him. We spend time reading the story of Jesus. You know, for the last probably 10 years, I have not stopped reading the Gospels. I can't get over them. And I just want to behold the life of Jesus again and again. I want to consider the way that he speaks to the woman at the well. I want to think about the way that he calls Bartimaeus to be his disciple and has mercy upon him. I want to think about Jesus' vision for his people in the Sermon on the Mount, a people that are just so different in the way that they operate, just have such a radically different politic. And this is what we mean by being with Jesus. We're just taking in all of Jesus, and almost, if you could, just marinate in him. Pickle yourself in Jesus, right? That's the idea. So I think just first and foremost, I would say, I think some of us have relegated Jesus to an ideal. And in the church, we can do this easily. We can kind of talk about Jesus in maybe kind of a more fixed, scientific, rational way. Oh, Jesus lived and he died and here's what he did. And, you know, we speak of imitation of Christ. We can speak of the way of Jesus. We can even talk about Jesus reigning as king. But I have noticed, I have this tendency in myself, right, that I can speak about Jesus so that he becomes an ideal rather than speaking to Jesus. Have you noticed that in your own life? We talk about God rather than talk to God. We can cultivate theology rather than doxology, right? Theology rather than worship. But God didn't create us for theology. He didn't create us for knowledge. He created us for intimacy. He created us for love. He created us for friendship. One of the greatest gifts and offers that we receive in Christianity is that we get Jesus. By the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is now our companion, our life friend forever. He walks with us. He leads us by still waters. He leads us through dark valleys of shadows of death and suffering in these things, and he comforts us. He's our guide. He's our companion. He is our shepherd. And what this kind of idea is as a student of Jesus Christ, that I am just latched onto him in such a way that I want my life to be a mirror, a reflection of Jesus's life. See, this is what happened back in those days, the early, you know, first century with discipleship. You lived with your teacher. You took on your teacher's way of life. I mean, you guys, it's kind of ridiculous, but it'd be like you copy the hand motions, the voice inflections of your teacher. I mean, kind of weird, but you get the idea, right? Like you literally were taking upon your teacher's persona in order to be like them. Now, the way that we do this is through scripture. There are incredible spiritual disciplines that we can use, like listening, prayer, silence, and solitude, and fasting. But I think more than anything, the idea really is what Brother Lawrence talked about. You guys remember his little book, The Practice of the Presence of God? And just going with Jesus everywhere you go and whatever you do. That you're taking in God's word and the teachings of Jesus in such a way that you can carry it with you everywhere. Now, I've had seasons of my life where I've really leaned into Jesus in ways that I never had before, and simultaneously, they were seasons of suffering. They're seasons of great difficulty, where I was just like, I don't have anybody else. Nobody else, nobody understands me. I'm alone, right? Ever felt that before? And so I found myself literally on my front porch, talking to an empty chair, evening after evening after evening. And I found myself being at a loss for words finally and just having to listen. And what I heard were reminders of God's love for me, God's presence for me, God being for me, him understanding me, and him being pleased with me. These are the things that I remember. These are the things that came to mind. Now, Paul has this thing that he talks about in Corinthians where he talks about how what happens now for those of us who have experienced the giving of the Spirit and this life in the new creation is that the Spirit of Jesus, as we spend time in his presence, transfers from Jesus to us. He says we are transformed from one degree of glory to another. It just kind of builds and builds and builds, glory to glory to glory to glory. And I imagine that if you're married, you know this experience. If you have like a bosom friend, you know, like Anna Green Gables, maybe you understand this as well. Like you spend time with an individual and they have this way of rubbing off on you. And you take upon yourself some of their convictions, their values, you know, maybe some of their habits. You ever had that experience? Three of you have had that experience. Wow. You guys got to get out and live a little. Right? So, you know, it's fascinating to me. You know, sometimes we want like a silver bullet, right? We want the kind of Louis Zamperini, remember that book? Unbroken was a film, right? We want those kind of testimonies, right? Where it's like darkness to light, everything changed. I was never the same. Really didn't seem like I had to work hard for it. But this is actually what I find more and more, and I think what actually is taught in the scripture is that this transformation process that we undergo by God's Spirit takes a lifetime. It's a lifetime spent with Jesus where he just rubs off on us more and more and more. And over time, as we mature in our faith, we should be looking more like Jesus. And the love of God should be the most notable thing about our lives as it was about the life of Jesus. And so that's also like one of these moments to be like, okay, if that's not the case, like something's wrong, right? If I'm not growing in love and I've been following Jesus for 40 years, what gives? If I don't reflect the life of Jesus and his habits, what gives? Well, this is kind of going back to what I was talking about a moment ago. I follow Jesus. I say I know Jesus. I say I'm about the things of God's kingdom. What am I prioritizing? How am I living? Because spending time in the presence of Jesus has this way of transferring to us where we actually take upon his life and his habits, his way. You guys following me? Good. Number two, pursue the steps. What are the practices and habits that I need to implement into my life to become more like Jesus? What are those teachings then in the life of Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount? He talks about, you know, nonviolent retaliation. He talks about being meek. He talks about loving and forgiving. What are those areas of my life where this is lacking? Where do I need to put the life of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, into practice in my own life? And Jesus taught this, right? He says in the Sermon on the Mount, it's not just about who hears the word, but who does them. That's the one that's going to be great in the kingdom of God. Everyone who hears these words of mine, he says, and does them, that is the wise person that builds their house on the rock. That's the life that will stand the test of time. And so all that to say, the teachings of Jesus, they're not just to be heard. They're not just to be agreed upon, right? They're to be practiced. They're to be implemented and applied to our lives and to be lived out into our daily existence. And what we really need to understand, you guys, is that this will kick your butt. I mean, it's basically what we need to like know, right? Like you go to the gym for physical education. It's super interesting, right? That Paul's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. A soldier trains like this. A farmer has to work like this. An athlete looks like this. And he's like, so train for godliness. You ever thought about the life of a farmer and then your own spiritual life? Oh, shoot. Am I like keeping up that kind of like schedule? Think about the life of an athlete, how much they train. A soldier, how regimented they are so that they can be ready for action at a moment. And then Paul's like, yeah, this is actually what training for godliness is like. And we're like, oh, well, okay, that's definitely not happening in my life. So listen, practicing the way of Jesus, developing the fruit of the Spirit, the character of Christ, what we see taught in the New Testament, we need to understand that this is like a gymnasium for disciples of Jesus. It's where we go to train for godliness, to work our, you know, as corny as it is, spiritual muscles, right? That's how we get stronger. That's how we reflect the life of Jesus more in our lives, is actually by practicing the way of Jesus, practicing forgiveness, as I mentioned a moment ago, meekness, peacefulness, mercy, sincerity, purity, faithfulness, and the list goes on, right? We practice these things so that they become second nature to us. Dallas Willard, again, in his book, The Spirit of the Disciplines, he says this, my central claim, this is like his big idea, is that we can become like Jesus Christ by doing one thing, by following him in his overall style of life he chose for himself. Literally, that is Willard in a nutshell. That's the whole thing that he's about. Like, give yourself fully over to practicing the way of Jesus, participate with the Spirit, and you will see the life of Jesus put on display through your life. So we identify the goal to be like Jesus, so we be with Jesus. We identify the steps, right? Practice the way of Jesus, those things that are taught the church of the new life that is in Christ. Practice, 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 practice. And then the final step, arrive, become. Do what Jesus did. Begin to just live your life. Begin to live the life of Jesus out through your own life and opportunities, right? That's what we're being called to do. Now, I mentioned this at the beginning, but remember, it's simple in a sense what Jesus did. Peter the apostle in the book of Acts, this is like one of my favorites. I just love it. He's like, you know Jesus. He went about doing good. And he healed all who were afflicted by the devil, for God was with him. You know, church, if that was just said about Calvary Chapel, well done. We did it. Went about doing good and bringing healing to those who were afflicted by the devil. That is what Jesus calls us to do as his disciples. He sends us out to announce God is king. He's making all things new, and you're invited, whoever you are, to be part of his kingdom, to be part of his family. And then we demonstrate through our lives, through our resources, through the gifts that we have, the power and presence of the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus sends us out to do. And here's the idea of discipleship. Jesus says it in Luke 6:40. He says, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when they are fully trained, do you hear that? Are fully trained, will be like their teacher. So maybe you didn't know this, but when you gave your life to Jesus Christ and were baptized, this is what you signed up for. You signed up for training in spiritual formation to become like Jesus in order to partner with God in building for his kingdom. That's what we signed up for. So we are training so that we will become like Jesus. Now, as a disciple, you and I must learn how to do all of that. But here's the good news. Slow down. It's a lifelong journey. It takes the whole of your person for the rest of your life. Put these three things into practice. Be with Jesus. Become like Jesus. Do what he did. Now, in closing, there's just a thing that I want to say that I think is just important for us to understand. This formation and discipleship process that I'm talking about, it's not just exchanging an old set of rules for a new set of rules. Or maybe another example, it's not just that you trade your life and what you're practicing for my life and what I'm practicing, right? It just doesn't work like that. There were some ways that I use this analogy is like, Jordan and I are really close friends, right? And no one else will have the relationship that we have, right? And it'd be a weird thing to think that, you know, somebody could replace one of us in the life of the other. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't also have friendship with you and have this dynamic, but sometimes we try to do this vicarious thing where it's like, oh, I'll just follow that person and what they're doing and implement their life. And there may be things and pieces that you can, good ideas to implement into your life. But basically what I'm trying to say is this. If you just exchange the set of rules that you're abiding by now, the values and desires that you have now for a new set of rules and new set of desires, you will never change. Because rules will never transform your character. And Dallas Willard, he actually observed this. You know, he was a professor at UCLA for many, many years, was a chair of philosophy, and this is what he observed. He said, the way of laws or rules, it actually avoids individual responsibility for decision. Fascinating. He says, it pushes the responsibility and the possible blame actually on God. Well, God just told me to do it. That's why I did it. That is one reason why people who must have a law for all their actions lead such pinched and impoverished lives and develop very little in the way of genuine depth and godly character. See, instead, what we're talking about this morning, what the New Testament envisions, is that the Spirit of God who is already in you wants to engage your whole person in imagining what Jesus would do if he had your life and opportunities. If he had your challenges and struggles, and then to partner with the Spirit of God to do that, to put that life of Jesus into practice. And when you begin to do that, you will learn and come to know by second nature a depth of familiarity, a depth of intimacy and friendship with God, a partnership with God and His Spirit that sets you free in a whole new way to live out God's will. Yes, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. A way that the rules seem to set you up for, but what they can never attain. This is what Jesus said, right? Those who are born of the Spirit are like the wind that is blown. Paul describes that we have a whole new freedom in Jesus Christ, and that freedom is led by the Spirit of God to do the things of God in the way of God. There's no rule book for that. There's no encyclopedia reference that we can turn to. It's a deep transformative work that God does in you by His Spirit to form Jesus in you. And it's going to look different than Jesus at work in me. But guess what? It'll smell like Jesus. It'll taste like Jesus. It'll look like Jesus. It's the life of Jesus. But what an incredible adventure that Paul is laying out here for us. That individually and collectively, as we say no to the forming of the world and culture around us, to live for ourselves, to build our own kingdoms, and instead operate in a whole new way of life in the Spirit, we'll talk more about that in the weeks to come, that we will actually personally be able to test and approve what God's will is. Discerning for ourselves, oh, this is what God is doing, and this is my opportunity to partner with Him. Church, I am so excited to see how God is going to work in you to will and to do for His good pleasure. I am so excited to see Jesus formed in you and the places that Jesus will take you and the lives that He will touch through you because you are a true disciple who practices the presence of Jesus, who practices the way of Jesus and goes about doing good, bringing healing, proclaiming the kingdom of God. And so, church, together, we're going to discover this. We're going to lean into these values of being a Jesus-formed community on mission, and we're going to discover both individually and together how God is at work in the world, and we're going to join Him. Now, this is the question I want to leave with you this morning. How is the Spirit moving on your heart today to take your discipleship in your own hands and follow Jesus? What are the things that you need to prioritize in your life in order to be a true disciple? As we close our time together, as we come to the table of the Lord, remembering His life, His gift to us, recalibrating our lives to His life. I want this to be our prayer this morning. Spirit of God, do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Open our eyes to truly see Jesus. That we would see Him in all of His glory and all of His beauty, all of His fullness and joy. That we would see His perfect life, His perfect way. We would just know and be convinced deep within our souls that He is the way, that He is the truth, that He is the life. And that with everything in us, we would pursue Him. He would become the center. He would become the end. He would become the means. That His life would be fully put on display through my life so that I may fully enjoy Jesus and make Him known to the world. So church, I just invite you to come up and in your own words, just that, like, Spirit, help us to see Jesus for all that He is. And we see that there's nothing better, there's nothing more beautiful, there's nothing more fulfilling than the person of Jesus, and He has been gifted to us. So like Corey shared from the very beginning, this is what Jesus said. there was a man who found a pearl of great price. And so what he did is he sold everything that he had so he could have that pearl. That pearl is Jesus of Nazareth. And he's made available to each and every one of us. The call is, go all in. Hand yourself fully over to the Lord Jesus by practicing his way of being, being with him, becoming like him, doing what he did, and you will discover God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. May the Lord bless you.